Good morning. We're in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi, Dalet, Amud Beis. Ne'en Yaakov Vor on page Kuf Chaf He, paragraph Ayin He. Continuing the discussion of Sancheirev, who we learned last time, and we learned in Navi, blasphemed or sent a shliach to blaspheme against Hashem. His name was Rav Shakeh, and Rav Shakeh was Jewish, which is significant, according to the Marsha, for this next Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, my dichtiv. What is the meaning of the pasuk? Vata, and now Hamibalade Hashem aliti el aretz hazot lashchita. Sancheirev says, was it without Hashem that I came up to this land to Eretz Yisrael to destroy it? Hashem Amar Eli alei el aretz hazot vashchita. Hashem told me to come up to this land and destroy it. Maihi, to what was he referring? The Shamei leNavid Kamar, because he heard the Navi say. Marsha says, Sancheirev didn't hear the Navi say. Rav Shekah, who was Jewish, had heard the Navi Yeshaya say, and he told Sancheirev about this. What did Yeshaya say? Ya'an ki ma'as amazet mea shiloach halchim la'at, because this nation has despised the waters of the shiloach, which go slowly, umesos et ritzin uven rimalyahu, and they rejoiced with Ratzin, the king of Aram, and Ben Rimalyahu, the king of Israel. That was what Yeshaya said. Amar of Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Il Malay Targuma de Haikra, Lohave Yadana Mai Kamar. If not for the Targum, the Aramaic translation of this pasuk, we would have no idea what it's saying. What's the Targum? Rav Yosef, incidentally, is the one who frequently uses that expression. If not for the Targum, we would have no idea. Some point out that Rav Yosef was blind. So Rav Yosef couldn't learn Torah Shebichtav because he was blind. So he was expert in Targum, in translation, in Aramaic translation. In a number of places in Shas, he's the one who points out, if not for the Targum, we would have no idea what this pasuk was saying. Chalaf dekatz ama hadein b'machuta de Beit David de madbar lahon b'nayich because this nation has rejected the kingdom of David, which leads them gently, like the waters of the Shiloach that flow gently, and they desired Ritzin uven Rimalyahu. And they desired Ritzin, the king of Aram, and Pekach ben Rimalyahu, the king of Israel. That's what Sancheirev heard, according to Marsha, he heard it from Rav Shekah, which led him to believe that he was meant to come and destroy the kingdom of Yehuda. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar B'Yochanan, Mai Dichtiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk? Me'irat Hashem Bevet Rasha, the curse of Hashem is in the house of a Rasha, u'neveit tzadikim evarech, and the dwelling of tzadikim will be blessed. Me'irat Hashem Bevet Rasha, ze pekach ben Rimalyahu. The curse of Hashem is in the house of a Rasha. This refers to Pekach ben Rimalyahu, Shaya Ochel Arbaim Se'ah Gozalot Bekinuach Suda. He would eat 40 Se'ah. 40 Se'ah is the volume of a mikvah. He would eat 40 Se'ah of young birds for dessert, for not the main course. In other words, not the main course.
Exaggeration?
Possibly. But means he ate in a gluttonous way. When Neveit Tzadikim Evarech, Zech Hizkiyahu Melech Yudah, Shei Ochel Litra, and there are two versions here. Er says, Yarak, the Suda. He would eat a small measure of vegetables for his meal. According to other Girsah, he would eat a small measure of meat for his meal. In other words, Marsha quotes Rashi in Sefer Yeshaya, who explains that this ties into the previous Gemara. Because Chizkiah, in people's minds, did not act like a king, because he ate small meals. According to one Girsa, he ate meat. According to one Girsa, he ate vegetables. We'll talk about that in a second. So because he did not act royally, so the people rejected him and wanted a king like his counterpart in the north, who ate 40 birds just for 40 sov birds, right. 40 sov birds for dessert. The Vilna Gaon says on that pasuk in Mishlei that it says, Me'irat Hashem beveit Rasha, curse of Hashem is in the house of the Rasha, u'nevei tzadikim v'erech, the dwelling of the tzadikim will be blessed. Regarding the tzaddik, it just says a dwelling. Regarding the Rasha, it says a house. Because a Rasha treats Olam Hazeh like a house, like something permanent. Whereas tzaddikim treat Olam Hazeh as just a dwelling, a place to live, but not a house, not a firm house. So Rasha is cursed even in Olam Hazeh, which he treats like a house, and Kal v'chomer in Olam Haba, which to the Rasha is not a house, but at most a flimsy dwelling, whereas a tzaddik will be blessed even in his dwelling, even in Olam Hazeh, which to the tzaddik is a temporary dwelling, and certainly in Olam Haba, which is the tzaddik's house. Sefer Ein Eliyahu, not by the Vilna Gaon, of Eliyahu Shik, lived in Lithuania. Ein Eliyahu is an ayin. It's called Ein Eliyahu because it's a commentary on the Ein Yaakov, and the author's name is Eliyahu. But good try. So Eliyahu Shek, who lived in Lithuania in the middle and late 1800s, roughly 100 years after the Vilna Gaon, he says something similar. The word nevei is, again, it means a temporary place, a temporary living place. So Chizkiah, who viewed this world as a temporary living place, did not get hung up on food and ate modestly. Whereas the northern king, Pekach ben Remaliahu, and Ritzin, the king of Aram, who viewed this world as their homes, so they enjoyed it, or you know, in their minds, enjoyed it by eating gluttonously. So he refers to a Gemara, the Ein Eliyahu refers to Gemara in Eruvin, Daf Nun Dalet, Amud Aleph, where there's commenting on a pasuk in Tehillim. And it says, Im adam yisim atzmo kechaya zo shedoreset ve'ochelet, if a person makes himself like an animal that kills its food and eats it, lions do not barbecue their food, they don't worry about if it's rare or well done, they just kill it and eat it. So if a person is like that and doesn't worry about his food, then the Torah that he learns will be retained. And if he does worry about how his food is prepared, then his Torah will not be retained. Ika d'amri, some say, some interpret the pasuk differently.
So people eat their meat raw,
it's not meant to be taken literally. It means people who are not particular about their food. It doesn't mean eat your meat raw. It means not to be particular about it. Okay, but there's another interpretation. The Gemara says, "Shemasrachat vochela tamidomi keim biado." Rashi says, means if a person eats his food, again, dirty, doesn't mean to eat your food dirty. It means to not care about your food. Lashon acher, another interpretation, shedoreset v'ochelet l'chari gata ochelet miyad, that immediately, it's not talking about food at all, it's talking about immediately after the shear, he reviews the shear, just like a lion immediately after the hunt eats. So too, a person immediately after the lecture, he reviews it. Then his Torah will be retained. Rashi gives two interpretations. And then Rashi says, Lashon zenir abeinai, and the second interpretation finds favor in my eyes. Because Tamini Chachamim, we find throughout Shas, Tamini Chachamim were particular about their food and about their clothing, which ties back to our previous year about clothing that we said that Rabbi Yochanan would call my clothing that which gives me honor. Clothing reflects the Tzelem Elohim, the image of God. So we have two interpretations of the pasuk. One, that it's saying Talmid Chacham should not be particular about his food. And a totally different interpretation, it's saying a Talmid Chacham reviews his learning immediately after he hears the shir. Rashi says, I like the second interpretation better because a Talmid Chacham, we find in the Gemara, Talmid Chachamim did care about their food. Find the Gemara in Brachos, for example, discussion between Rav and Shmuel, and it's clear that they had favorite foods. Okay? Rav and Shmuel, the two great Tana Amoraim, Rav even Tana, they had favorite foods. They did not care about their foods. Okay. So the Ein Eliyahu brings this Gemara, and he says that perhaps the two opinions in Rashi are reflected in the two different versions in our Gemara. On page, if you look at page Kuf Chav Zayin at the top of the page, so it says, Zechiz kia melech Yudah, shaya ochel litra, he would eat a litra, which is a measure. And then one version says basar, meat, and another version says yarak, vegetables, basuda. So according to the version that says vegetables, because Chizkiah didn't care what he ate. And according to the version that says meat, Chizkiah said, I'm a king. I'm a king. I'm a Talmid Chacham too. I need to eat in a respectable way. I need to eat meat. So the Ein Eliyahu says that maybe they're both correct. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. They're both the word of living God. They're both correct. In the beginning, when a person begins to learn Torah, he does need to deprive himself. Mishnah says, Pirkei Avos, pat b'melach tochel, even have to be willing to eat, or some interpret it literally, you should eat bread dipped in salt and drink water. To at the beginning, the kids going to yeshiva in Israel and taking a George Foreman and filling up the freezer in the dormitory with meat and having barbecues in the dormitory, I've seen this with my own eyes. That's not the way for a young yeshiva bacher to start out. But once a person is established and is learning, then the way of a Talmid Chacham is to eat respectably and not to deprive himself, not to eat like a glutton, not to eat 40 seah, the volume of a mikvah of young birds for dessert, okay, let alone the main course, but to eat respectably. So that's the Ein Eliyahu suggests that's the two girsos, the two versions in the Gemara are alluding to.
Either one, though, whether it's eating meat or vegetables, it's only eating a little.
A certain measure. So machlokas, what this measure is, according to Rashi, according to a chart that I looked at that cites a Rashi in Bechoros, I didn't look it up, it is the equivalent in our measure of 1.05 pounds. So 1.05 pounds is not a small amount of either vegetables or meat. There are, this chart said, v'yesh chokim, and there's some who argue, and I didn't do any further research to see what they argue, whether they say it's more or less. So I don't know exactly. It's not necessarily starvation rations either, but in any event, it's a fixed measure of some amount. A pound of meat is not a small amount. 1 pound steak is a generous steak.
I've never had one.
Yeah.
So that's my point, exactly.
All right.
It's a big steak.
Right. So
it's four hamburgers.
It also could be that just like the 40 seah might be an exaggeration, the litra also might not meant to be taken literally. It could be it means a big amount and a smaller amount. All right, back in the Gemara. On page Kuf Chav Zayin, second line. So Navi says, Lachain, v'lachain, therefore, hinei Hashem male alehem et meha nahar atzumim v'arabim et melech Ashur. Therefore, because the people rejected Chizkiah, who they did not think was royal enough because of the small meals that he ate, therefore, I'm bringing upon them the powerful river, the king of Ashur. It says he will pass through Yehuda And he will, the river will flood, it will reach up to the throat. Yeshaya Perk Chet Pasuk Chet. So the official Artscroll translation. Therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing upon them the mighty and abundant waters of the, in parentheses, Euphrates River, the king of Assyria and all his glory, and it will rise above all its channels and overflow all its banks. It will pass through Yehuda, flooding as it passes, reaching up to the neck. And its wingspread will be the full breadth of your land, Manukel. So the Navi foretold that Ashur, the king of Ashur, which is the Sancheriv, is coming. Ela maitama yanish. Then why was he punished? If the Navi said he should come, then why was he punished? Navi aseret shvatim itnebe. Because the Navi was prophesying that Sancheriv would take away the 10, would make war against the 10 northern tribes. Vuhu yehiv date al kula Yerushalayim. And he wanted to capture Yerushalayim. Now, even though it was the people of Yehuda as well were looking towards the northern king, the people of Yehuda themselves were rejecting Chizkiah. And the pasuk says that the Chalaf Yehudah, he'll pass through Yehuda, but the Navi never said that he will conquer Yerushalayim itself. And he besieged Yerushalayim. So for that, for wanting to take all of Yerushalayim, for that he was punished. Sancheriv was punished. And again, into punishment. Now what happened to Sancheriv was, as we learned, the Malach came and wiped out his entire army in one night. Sancheriv himself then went back to, in shame, to his capital, where he was murdered by his own children. So the commentaries ask, a number of commentaries ask this question. One of them is the Sanhedrin Kitana. What does the Gemara mean? Why was he punished? We learned previously, Sancheriv blasphemed against God. Isn't that enough reason to be punished? And we said that because he blasphemed against God, his army was wiped out. We already learned that previously. So why is Gemara asking now, why was he punished? So Sanhedrin Ketana says that for blaspheming, saying, who is God that you think he's going to protect you from me? I've defeated lots of kingdoms, and I'm going to defeat you and your God too. That's what he said. The greatest punishment for that could have been to be defeated by the puny army of Yehuda and for him and his 185,000 soldiers to go back, to go home in shame. That would have been an appropriate punishment. So the Gemara is asking, why was he punished in a different way? When it says, why was he punished, it means why was he punished in a different way, not by being defeated. Furthermore, we're going to see in the continuation of the Gemara that even before Sancheriv cursed, Hashem had already sworn to Chizkiah that Sancheriv was going to come and was going to be defeated. So, therefore, the Sanhedrin Ketana learns that the punishment for the blaspheming was that his army was wiped out, and that he would go home in shame, because he had said, I'm greater than God. So his entire army was punished for participating in this. They were killed. He was punished for his blaspheming that he went home in shame. And then he was punished for attacking Yerushalayim that he was murdered. That's how the Sanhedrin Ketana learns.
Which was the greater punishment, to be shamed or to be murdered? I would have thought to be shamed.
Could be. Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure we have to draw a conclusion one way or the other. Gemara continues, turning onto page Kuf Chav Chet. Ba Navi Bamarlo. So the Navi came and said to him, Gilo mu'af la'asher mutzakla. For he was not wearied when it was distressed. What does that mean? This is a continuation of the same chapter in Yeshaya. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Brechya, einim sar am ayef patra b'yad mishnei tziklo. The nation that tires itself out with Torah is not given into the hands of the one who distresses it. My, what is the meaning of the continuation of the pasuk? Ka'et harishon, hekal, like the first time, hekal arza zvulun v'arza naftali v'acharon hichbid. Yeshaya perk chet pasuk chav gimel. So the actual punctuation of the pasuk, according to Peshat, is for he was not wearied the first time the land was distressed. But the language of the pasuk is ki lo mu'af l'asher mutzakla. The Gemara is punctuating it there. And then ka'et rishon hekal arza, like the first time when he exiled the land of Zevulun and land of Naphtali, but the last time Ashur will be severe by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan and the region of the nations. So ka'et harishon hekal arza Zevulun v'arza Naphtali v'acharon hichbid derech hayam ever ha'erdein glil ha'goyim. That's the pasuk. So what does it mean? What's the drasha? Lo karishonim, not like the first ones, the 10 tribes, Shekelu me'alehim ol Torah, who loosened lightened the burden of Torah on them and were exiled. Aval achronim, but the latter ones, the kingdom of Yehuda, Shechbidu alehim ol Torah, who made the yoke of Torah heavy on themselves. They were engaged in Torah study, as we've talked about, and we talked about it from Gemara that's coming up very shortly, but we talked about this many times previously. In Chizkiah's time, every man, woman, and child was expert in halacha. Therefore, they deserve to have a miracle, ovrei hayam kedorchei yarden, like those who crossed the Yam Suf, those who left Mitzrayim, kedorchei yarden, and those who entered Eretz Yisrael, who passed through the Jordan River. The Jordan River split, just like the Yam Suf split for the generation that left Egypt. The Jordan River split just for the generation that entered Eretz Yisrael. Im chozer bo mutav. So if Sancheriv turns back, good for him. V'im lav, and if not, ani aseh bo galil bagoyim. I will make him into a laughingstock among the nations. Rashi gives two explanations, either a laughingstock among the nations or dung. The word galil, glalim, could mean dung. So I will punish Sancheriv. Gemara continues. Acharei darshani a pasuk in Divrei Yamim. Acharei hadvarim v'haemet ha'ela. After these words and this truth, bas Sancheriv melech Ashur. Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, came v'yavo v'yuda. He came into Yehuda. V'yichan al ha'arim ha'btzurot. He camped opposite the fortified cities. V'yomer levikam elav. And he said, he wanted to break them open. Hi Dishana Lahai Pardashna. So the Gemara asks, literally, do we bring a gift like this to such a master? In other words, the Pasuk says, after these words of truth, after the good things, it describes good things that Chizkiah did, and after that, Sancheriv came. That's a gift that you bring to a good person? So the Gemara says, "My achar." What does it mean? Afterwards, lachar shekafat Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'nishba. After Hashem took an oath. Some explain, where's their allusion to an oath? So the word ha'ele is the same as ha'Allah. Allah is an oath. The letters of ha'ele are the same as ha'Allah. And some learn that the word emet, let me say, the seal of Hashem is truth. So that alludes to an oath. So different commentaries have different explanations of where you see an oath in this pasuk. But in any event, Hashem took an oath, and he said, "Vamar, I amena leil Chizkia maitina leil Sancheriv masarin labiyadach. If I tell Chizkia, I will bring his Sancheriv upon you and give him into your hands, Hashta Amar, he will say, Lo hu ba'ina v'lo b'itute b'ina. No thanks. I don't want a war and then to win the war. I don't want my people to be terrified by Sancheriv and then to defeat him. Keep him away from me. I don't want the trouble and I don't want the reward. Or some learn that his concern was that maybe Sancheriv will come and then the Midas Adin, the attribute of justice, will find some reason why Sancheriv should harm us. So I'd much rather you keep him away from me. So Hashem says, if I tell Chizkiah that this is what's going to happen, that's what Chizkiah will say. Thanks, but no thanks. Miyad kafas kadosh chuv nishbad ma'itin alei. So Hashem took an oath, because this was Hashem's plan, that this had to be. So Hashem took an oath that this would happen. Shinemar nishba Hashem sokot limor. And it says, Hashem took an oath to say, imlo kasher dimiti kein haita. If not the way I, so to speak, imagined it, so it was. V'kasher ya'atzti hitakum. And the way that I contemplated, it will happen. Lishbor Ashur Bartzi, to break Ashur in my land, Ve'al Harai Avusenu, and on my mountains Avusenu. The literal translation, to break Assyria in my land, I will trample him on my mountains. That's a literal translation. But an Avus is a trough from which an animal eats. So Amar Yochanan, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yavos Sancheriv v'siyato v'yasu avus l'chizkiyahu v'siyato. Let Sancheriv and his entourage come and be a trough for Chizkiyah and his entourage. In other words, when they woke up in the morning and found 185,000 soldiers dead, what do you do with them? You make horse meat. I mean, you feed them to horse feed. You feed them to horses. So that's what the pasuk means, to make them a trough for Chizkiyah. I don't know. The Torah discourages the king from owning too many horses. Gemara continues, according to pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Yod, pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayah vayomahu, it will be on that day. Yasur subalo me'al shechmecha. He will lift a serious affliction from your shoulders. And his yoke from upon your neck. And the yoke will be broken because of the oil. What does that mean? I'm Rabbi Yitzhak Napacha. Rabbi Yitzhak Napacha said, Chubal ol shel Sancheriv mipnei shamno shel Chizkiyahu. The yoke of Sancheriv was broken by the oil of Chizkiyahu, Shayad Dolek Mavate Knesiot Mavate Midrashot, which was burning, the midnight oil burning in the shuls and the Bate Medrash is what defeated the yoke of Sancheriv. Me'asa, how did Chizkiyah accomplish this? Na'atz Cherev Al Pedach Beit Midrash, he put a sword by the door of the Beit Medrash. One of the commentaries points out, but not inside, because you don't bring weapons into shul, into base medrash. V'amar, and he said, Kol mi shino seik b'tzorah yidaker b'cherev zeh. Whoever doesn't learn Torah, let him be stabbed with this sword. Either it means he, in the beginning, forced people to learn Torah, and then afterwards, I guess they liked it. Or it means it was a prediction. If you don't learn Torah, bad things are going to happen to the Jewish people. Whoever does not busy himself with Torah will be stabbed with his sword. Badku. The end result was that they checked Midan Vad Beersheba from the northernmost place, Midan, until Beersheba, the southernmost city in Kingdom of Yehuda, below Matsu Amharetz, he did not find a single Amharetz. Migvat Vad Antifras, they from the other places, Gvat and Antiphras, which are also on the borders. Lomatsu tinok v'tinoket, they did not find a boy or a girl, ish ish v'isha, a man or a woman, shalayu b'kim v'chot tumah v'terah, who are not experts in the laws of ritual purity and impurity. V'alato ador huomer, regarding that generation, it says, v'ayav v'yamahu yechaye ish eglat bakar u'shtei tzon. It will be on that day, each man will raise a heifer and two sheep. We'll come back to this in a second. It will be in every place, this is two psukim after that, there will be 1,000 vines or 1,000 bunches of grapes for 1,000 coins, v'lashamir v'lashai yeh, and it will all be consumed by thorns and weeds. Afavish elef gefen v'elef kesef v'lashamir v'lashai yeh. Even though the crops were worth so much, people let them rot. In other words, everybody, there will be enough meat and enough fruits and vegetables for everybody to live an excellent life, but the people won't be worried about eating steaks or vegetables. They'll live a simple life. Obviously, they'll eat something, but it means they could have, like we said before, they could be eating big meals. Everybody could have been living a royal life, but they won't because they will be more interested in studying Torah. Husaf shlalchem osef echasiel. Now on page Kuf Lamed Daled, pasuk says, this is a pasuk in Yeshaya, Lamed Gimel, pasuk Daled. Your spoils will be gathered like the gathering of locusts. Amar lehem Navi Yisrael. The Navi, after Sennacherib was defeated, the Navi said to Jewish people, Isfu shlalchem. Gather the booty. Amrulo libzoz o lachlok. They said, should it be each man for himself, or should we divide it up? Amar lahem ka'osef achasil. He said, like the locusts, ma'osef achasil kol echad v'echad ba'atzmo, just as every man for himself, af shalachem kol echad v'echad ba'atzmo, so too the booty is every man for himself. Amrulo, they said to him, Valo Mamona Serch Fatimo Rapo, but in this booty, there is booty that the Assyrians took from the northern tribes, belongs to Jews. Amar Lahem, so he said to them, the continuation of the Pasuk, Kimashak Givim Shokekbo, as the march of grasshoppers shall he march in it. Ma Givim Alalu Malimit Adami Tumalatara. Just like gevim, so the word gevim can also refer to flows of water. So just as water purifies a person, af mamonam shel Yisrael, so too the property of Jewish people, once it falls into the hands of goyim, kivan shen nafal biyad of dekochavim biyad tihar, it becomes purified. In other words, the goyim captured it. Marsha says, you don't have to return it to them. When it was taken by the goyim, the Jewish owners gave up on the ownership. And now that the goyim were killed, it's ownerless. The Jews gave up when the goyim came, so it was ownerless. The goyim took it, and now it's ownerless.
Navi said this?
Is what the Navi is saying. There is a concept, talk about this tomorrow, Yirtzeh Hashem. Kibush Mochama, that which is taken captive in a war, becomes the property of the Goyim, and then when the Goyim are defeated, it becomes the property of the victors. Significant halachic concept when it comes to, for example, now, once again, in the news lately, because Congress passed a law about this a year or two ago, about recovering Holocaust art. halachically speaking, does a person have the right to recover art they lost in the Holocaust or anything he lost in the Holocaust? When a person came back from the concentration camp and went back to his town, was his property still his? That's a significant halachic question that is discussed by Poskim. Mr. Shem will talk about that tomorrow. But it comes from this concept. The Marsha understands it as being a concept of yiush. The original owner gave up. Not everyone understands it that way. In terms of the Gemara itself, there's another halachic concept alluded to here. The Navi said, go gather the booty. The people didn't say right away, how can we? It belongs to Jews. The people said, should we do it collectively and divide it? Should we gather collectively and divide it? Or should each man go for himself? Is it everybody for himself? So I saw someone who explains, and now I don't remember who it was. We know that we have a concept of we follow the rove, we follow the majority. Classic case is there, you have a street where there are 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 non-kosher butcher shop. And you have the meat and you don't know where it came from. So we say, well, there are 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 non-kosher butcher shop, so it must be kosher. That's actually an oversimplification. Because when it comes to talking about a rove, there are 2 different kinds of majorities. There's something called kol deparish meruba parish. If something came out of somewhere, we say it came from the majority. So if you find a piece of meat lying in the street, then you say there are 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 kosher butcher shop, 9 kosher and 1 non-kosher. It must have come from the majority. Called the parish, whatever came out, came from the majority. But there's another concept that says, kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. If it's fixed, it's like half and half. If I bought a piece of meat, and I don't remember if I bought it in the kosher butcher shop to eat for dinner, or the non-kosher butcher shop to feed to my dog, then even though there are 9 kosher butcher shops and only one, there are 9 kosher ones and only 1 non-kosher one, I have to treat it as half and half. So applying that concept here, the people first asked, should we gather it all, make a huge mountain of it, and then divide it up? Then you could say, kol deparish meruba parish. It didn't come from its original place now. We're not dividing it from its original place. So whatever's in this pile came from the majority. Most of the nations that Sanherib defeated were non-Jewish. Mixed into it is some Jewish property. But we're not going to worry about it because it's not in its original place. It's like the meat that was found on the street because it's been moved to a new place. And the Navi said, no, it's every man for himself. Just go into the tents of the Assyrians and take it. Well, now it's kavua. It's in its original fixed place. It's like the person who bought the meat and it's in his hands and he doesn't remember where he bought it. It's in the tent of the person who looted it from nations they defeated. Well, now, even though the non-Jewish nations were the majority, you've got to treat it as half and half. And therefore, they asked, how can we take it? It might belong to Jews. Don't remember who it is. That's how one of them, Farshim, explains the progression of the conversation that took place here. Have a good day.